From Lubbock Community Theater, this is Five Till Places.
Thank you, Bob.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of LCT's Five Till Places. I am Jed.
And I'm Beth.
And we have some guests with us again this week.
You must be billed as a very special episode.
A very special, because I think, with the exception of like Whitney, I think this is the first time we've talked to the author of a show.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty rad. So we have got with us, you heard him last week. We have Jorge with us again, who plays Peter Bunther. You heard him last week when we talked to the cast. But this week we also have David, the author of the show in question.
So,
Hello.
Thank you for being here and talking to us.
Of course.
Yes, we were very excited about it. Our director, Patrick, really wanted to be here tonight, but he had called away for a family emergency, or he would have joined us as well.
I'm in the show too.
Yes, I know. We're getting there. I told everybody you were in the show. Yes. As longtime listeners will know, at least dating back to last week, that Beth is also in the show. Oh, I guess I should say, the show that we're talking about, as with last week, is No Room for a Picture on the Blank Wall, which deals with the topic of Alzheimer's disease and the journey that that puts not only the diagnosed individual through, but also their loved ones. I would love to get into this. What can you tell us about just like the genesis of this show? How did it come about that was like, I want to write a show about Alzheimer's?
Yeah.
There were several things that came into it. I teach theater arts, and as my students would attest to, I don't really care for musicals, but so many of the pieces of No Room came about due to musicals. You have Pippin, which at the end of the play, mm-hmm. Pippin, the music Pippin, the set is taken apart. I love that part of the show. I love that device that was used. And so that's where that came about. And then from the little known musical, Kiss Me, Kate, you have the two gangsters. And of course, that's where the two movers were adopted from, was Kiss mm-hmm. Me, Kate, the two gangsters from there. And then I just wanted to... I was serving on a servant leadership group in McMurray University, which is where I went to school. And one of the areas that you could go towards was assisting at an Alzheimer's clinic. And so I went there, and just my eyes figuratively, mentally, were just opened. It was incredible, heartbreaking, mm-hmm. awe-inspiring to witness and to hear all of these things that these people were saying, the different stages of the disease, and it all just kind of came together due to what these people were going through. And I did also talk to some of the family members, and that was as heartbreaking, if not more so, than actually seeing the patients with Alzheimer's, listening to the parents or the family members' testimony to that.
Do you have a personal experience, family members of your own?
I don't. It was all... I love film, and so I researched through film, and then of course my time with servant leadership, being a part of that, I was just able to, it all kind of wrote itself. I know that's a cliche to say, but it truly did. And it took about 4 years, but eventually it came together. Jumping ahead a bit, there were some characters that were just not likable in the first couple of interpretations, and they became so through constant rewriting, and I've got to rewrite it. And people say, why don't you send it, why don't you submit it, why don't you do this and that and so on, and it's just an itch I've got with each play, with each production. And eventually I think it got there and it just clicked, and the character in question was Amy Bunther. And she's again, spoiler, she's my voice in the play. Mm-hmm. My discomfort in dealing with this disease, dealing with the people, and then ultimately finding the acceptance is seen through Amy Bunther. And so she definitely was the hardest character to write, in my opinion. But
that is interesting.
Our director suggested that Simon had married someone a lot like his mother.
I agree.
But she's she's firm in her own way.
Yes.
Yeah.
We examined that in our character studies.
Okay.
I could see that. Like, I hadn't thought of that, but mm-hmm. I could absolutely see that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that feeds into the conflict between mm-hmm. between her and Amy, I feel like. But yeah. It's fun that you're able to glean so much from your researching and observing people that were going through it and everything, because there are a number of people in the cast who do. There are some people who were drawn to this show because they have personal experience with it. And so they were like, okay. I want to do this. Our director was one of them. Like when we were talking about it at play selection way last year, he was like, sign me up right away. He wanted to do this show. Wonderful. And we even had a couple of people who didn't know, I think Ayana or Amy mm-hmm. didn't know what the show was about. She was just looking to get into theater again. And saw that LCT was holding auditions. And then once she got to the first table read and saw what the show was about, she was like, oh no, I have life experience with this. It drew a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And there's been overwhelming discussion about the details that you got right with.
Well, thank you.
With the experiences of Peter and of his family and just like, mm-hmm. yeah. There's been a lot of that, but
Peter and Rosemary based on particular people, or are they a combination of people, or how did you come up with them? I love them, by the way. I love them as a couple. I love them in the struggle and through the whole thing. But
if I had to pick, and there's pieces from many different couples, older couples and around in and around McMurray University in Abilene. But the one that I'm drawn to are the Huckels, Charlie and Betty Huckel.
Okay.
And so Charlie is a painter. They go on camping trips. And I just recently thought of this, but if they listen to this eventually, I want to thank Charlie, give a shout out to Charlie. He's the one whose playwriting class fostered this play. But Charlie and Betty are this couple, just this loving, they have fun with each other, they're witty with each other, and I think if I were to pick a couple to have based Peter and Rosemary off of, it would have been the Huckels, just the ideal couple that one would see.
I never knew that, because like I coming from the Abilene theater scene myself, I'm well aware of who the Huckels are, and I never made that connection, but that is really cool. That is super cool. So
I find interesting how you intertwined that comic relief with the rest of the drama and the play. How do you come up with a balance for that? I mean, what guided you think?
Any good tragedy needs to have a certain level of levity to it. Yeah. And as I was in the process of writing No Room, I was also in the process of acting in the play All My Sons, which is a personal favorite of mine. And that's a great, beautiful tragedy, one of the greatest. And there are some moments of levity, and some moments the audience members were just laughing so hard. And then that's what really resonated the tragedy at the end of the play. And so I was really wanting to achieve even a fraction of that. It was important. And this was a great note that Charlie, again, he was my instructor. He said, when he was directing the piece at McMurray, he said to the two movers, and they were identical twins that played the original movers.
Oh,
they were
nice.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect. But Charlie told them, while you are funny, while you are silly, while you have this fun repertoire between the two of you, you are Alzheimer's. And so there were some lines that he had them read a little bit more sinister than they might have. And that really made them multidimensional characters. And when Amy's scene came to play, you didn't see them again until the very end. And the audience, when they finally saw them again at the very end, you said you had it. I thought you had it. It just completely took the audience by shock. It's like, oh, please don't come back. Please don't come back. I mean, uh-huh. We took this to the contest that it had won, the Texas Educational Theater Association, TETA. We had just a nice size audience that had watched it. And there was this young woman that was there, and she came to the two twins and she said, "You took my grandmother."
Oh, my goodness.
Quite genuinely. And the twins were just shocked by that.
Oh, but that's heartbreaking.
Jeez.
The two gentlemen that play our movers are dear, dear friends of mine and dear friends of each other. And they're just idiots, but we love them.
You have to play the parts. I mean,
yeah.
I played one of the movers at one time.
they say that they don't like to be called the villains.
Yeah.
They're not.
But they're, and I don't think that they are, because they show some of that tenderness toward him. Sure. And the one of the nights last weekend when they came back in the last scene, I think it was Alice or some and Omar in the audience and friends of ours, and I heard him say no.
Yeah.
And I heard somebody gasp when you took the wall, when the guys took the wall down and the picture was behind the wall.
Oh, I like that.
Which is actually a photo of me and Jorge. The director took photos of us to use, which I thought was really sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, I like very much the idea that the movers are not, because having them represent Alzheimer's, it would be very easy to make them sinister villains.
Well, and to some extent they are. I mean,
yeah.
Because, I mean, they truly, they don't exist. They're an extension of his mind.
Yeah.
It's he's creating this image of what's happening to him. So
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that putting them not during the whole play, but during some points, making a little bit more sinister kind of plays out a little bit with the image that I have of the whole thing. And I guess I might be, because I try to see them as Peter.
Okay.
Try to see them as Peter. And for me, they, you know, I don't like them.
sure.
I don't like them. And they're taking everything from me. So I don't like them. So that's the way I see them.
And yeah. Not to be too existential, but I'm going to go there because that's what I do. Can you say that they are even a reflection of his own self-image?
I think so. And again, part of, I think I was in an office and saw the famous photo of the men eating lunch up on the beams.
Mm-hmm.
That might have been where they came from. Maybe I was writing it as I saw that. But yeah. I think Peter would have that photo in his office, and maybe he drew that from there. You know, somebody had asked me, what kind of photos would Peter have? And I think he landscapes, of course, but I think he's classic. Again, this goes with Charlie. He's very classical. He's very, he goes back, harkens back to the best age, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And really just, I don't know. I think he views them a bit as himself. And
our director and stage manager asked the cast to submit pictures to hang.
Okay.
And I know that Jorge's dad is up there.
Yeah.
I know that his family is up
there. My dad was a photographer in the 70s. So.
Okay. Okay. So I thought
this is perfect. This is,
wonderful.
So he's supposedly a, you know, a picture of me when I was young.
Yeah.
Okay.
A photo of mine from Italy is there, the Ponte Vecchio in Florence. There's a snapshot of Jorge and I at dinner with the rest of the cast that we put up there. I tore a picture out of a magazine and put up there of Meryl Streep or somebody. I was like, what are you taking this photo? It's a nice one, right? And then some old photos from the theater, and then some that just are random.
Yeah.
But sure. That was nice. I thought that was fun. Everybody could have
wonderful
piece. I want to talk about the taking apart of the set.
Okay.
Mechanics and logistics. we had a hard time coming up with it, and it's still arguably not awesome, but it looks awesome.
Yeah.
I know the guys have problems with it. When it first went up, how did you all take panels and stuff down? Was it command strips or magnets or what?
It was knobs in the ground, and each of the, so we when we first did it at McMurray, it was the skeletal structure of the house.
Uh-huh.
2x4s. And so we would set the flats in front of the structure, set it onto the two knobs. There were holes in the flats that would situate just onto the knobs.
Oh, that's super smart.
And on top. And then on top, and I have to credit that to both Charlie and Eric Hansen. Eric was the designer of the set, but we also had hooks, little door hooks on the top.
Jorge suggested hooks later. I was like, that would have been real. They wound up using like pegs and poles. So everything just kind of, I'm using my hands like the people listening can see me. Yeah. So they just kind of press on and the guys just pull them off and it's just Luan. It's not anything.
Yeah.
The refrigerator falling always gets a big gas.
Sure.
The wall falling.
Yeah.
It's a good reaction.
When I had directed it at, I live in Ingram, when we did it at the Point several years ago, it was in 18, 19, but it's a very old theater. It's my happy place, but it's a very old theater. And we did not know one way or another which way the wall would fall. And I mean, it, or our poor Rosemary was standing just out of reach. And ooh. I mean, she was such a trooper. It would fall just behind her. But there were times you could see her hair just billow up as it fell.
We have Bill in that position, actually.
Okay.
On the couch. We got word one night through the comms that the couch had moved from its spike marks. And that he needed to move it when he went back so that the wall wouldn't hit him.
Oh, no.
Everything worked out.
Yeah. Yes, it worked out.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
I know I have loads more.
I know.
you talk for me. I'm
trying. I was trying. Well, you guys were talking about the various sets. I was trying to remember how we did the ACT sets. I don't remember.
If you had not asked, I would have known. I don't know.
Yeah, I was like, probably a question for Mike if he was here, but
right.
But it was because I don't remember if we took off, if we had the walls divided into little panels that we took off, or if we just had one big panel that we took off of each wall when it was time to.
And they have a shit ton to remember.
Yeah.
What order they're going in and what's going when, and figuring that out with our stage manager. Mm-hmm. Our stage manager is just brilliant. She's 22.
Yeah.
And she's hands and feet above anybody, probably besides Charlie.
Yeah.
That I've had as a stage manager. She's just on top of it.
And with the show, I realized she has stage managed fully 50% of our season this year.
Poor thing. Okay.
She did this show and She Kills Monsters. So two and tech heavy, interesting.
Wonderful Life, but yeah, that.
Yeah, that was less. But the other two shows had this one and She Kills had a lot of moving parts for her to keep track of.
We love you, Emmy. Strike will be easy.
That is one thing I remember very much is that Strike was so simple because it's like, well, everyone's gone, it's time to strike. Really, all this consists
you
of
just
is
gotta put it away.
Yeah. Move the flats back over here and put the props back and get out of your costumes and we can go home. It was
right.
So that's another if any other theaters are considering this show, that let me tell you, that's a benefit right there. It's the easiest strike you've ever had.
A lot of people have asked me how did we cope with the heaviness of all of it for, what has it been, 2 months? Has it been 2 months?
Or close to it, something like that.
Why not? Maybe.
And of course, we would cut up every time we would break or whatever and make sure we told jokes and stuff. But our director, Patrick, was very intentional in the beginning of telling us to leave it at the theater.
Okay.
And to not not carry it home. And the lady that did our intimacy coordination said, you know, some actors will wear like a thing, like a ring or a something. And when they take it off, they're not that character anymore. Sure. And I have experience as a caregiver for ill parents, but not Alzheimer's. Like, my parents didn't forget me. They didn't forget their friends or what was going on, but some of that anger for Rosemary draws from that place, and it can be really heavy.
Sure.
Have the other productions dealt with the same thing?
I really like what your director had said, and I think that's important, and it's often taken for granted, just leaving it there, not taking it home. And I think that's essential when you're doing a play like this, it can affect a good many people. There have been dramas that I've done, and we've all been through hard times, but there are dramas that it comes with me and it carries with me. And I hope my goal was not to do a straight up Alzheimer's tragedy. And that's where the movers come in. You know, I wanted to have that levity to it. And I think that's important. And so that balances those hard moments with Rosemary and Peter. And it's so important that you see at the end of that scene, because we have had some productions where Rosemary was not as caring, was not as loving as I think she should have been. Mm. And that really, we had somebody in the audience, a friend of ours, that had said, am I supposed to like her?
Right. Oh no!
I can't imagine how much heavier and worse, and like harder it makes the story to have Rosemary be played that way.
Right.
So then there's like almost no relief.
Exactly. Exactly. And you've got to have that relief. So in the first scene sets up their relationship. You've got to have that back and forth between the two of them, and that's just it's the Huckels all over, just with this witty, loving couple. And you've got to have that heart.
When we first started rehearsals, I was playing it way too serious, and Patrick was like, no, they're messing with each other.
Yeah,
they're having a good time. Exactly. They're dressed up, they're fixing to go. I said fixing to, they're getting ready to go out, they're gonna have a good time with their friends. And
yes,
they're, and it made that scene so much more enjoyable.
Good
Yeah. There's, sorry to move away from this for a moment. I actually have a question about a part of I think it's scene two, act two. That vision of Matthew, Simon, talking with or as the old man. That situation that Amy is telling, but then Simon's voice comes and tells the story, and it's talking about or instead of the old man. I guess that situation right there may have different interpretation, and I'm curious as to what were you thinking when you wrote it.
Peter had always wanted to go to China, and so I don't know if he's living through Simon. But I think Amy is telling this beautiful story, and Peter is taking that. So remember me, my son. That's his words to Simon. Maybe that's their interaction in the bedroom. You know, Simon goes into the bedroom, and maybe that's their final interaction before he unfortunately forgets his son.
Okay. That's interesting. I mean, because you saying that may give a little bit of an angle to how we both interpret that piece, and I don't really talk that much, but you know how we look at each other and how we act. It might change things a little bit as to how we've been playing it up till now.
Sure.
And if Patrick has something to say, you can be like, look, I talked to the author.
Yes, this is what we're doing, man.
Patrick is great. I mean,
yeah,
he gives us really good direction, really good notes. But he's also very open to us, you know, doing our stuff.
And he's very much a collaborator.
Yeah, he really is. He's
good.
It's been wonderful. It's been truly, in all senses, it's been a wonderful experience.
Very good.
I can't think of a better play that would have brought this group of people together.
I can't either. I have thought and thought and thought and thought. Because, you know, I went to the audition because I was afraid no one was going to come. And I wanted somebody to be there for Patrick. Oh. I never in a million years thought that he was going to offer me the part.
Wonderful.
I read with you and I read with EB. And I thought either way, it would be fine. And when we got started, I was comfortable with you, with Jorge, right away.
Good.
I've kissed another man for the first time in 22 years. But it was like not a thing. It's just like we've always been doing it.
Yeah, that chemistry is so, that first scene is so important in setting the tone. And you've got to have that. Like he talked about basing them on the Huchels and you guys having to have that conversation. And I remember at ACT, we had David and Carolyn Ainsworth, married couple again, and it was fun to watch them messing with each other on stage in that first scene, and then them just talking to each other behind the scenes like it was the same. It was
correct. They were wonderful, you know?
and they were so good. Don't have that first scene that establishes that, then definitely everyone will hate Rosemary.
Because
that first scene establishes that he loves her very, very much. There is a really good relationship.
Yeah.
They work pretty well together. So even at their age, there's that playfulness. Sexy talk.
Kind of banter.
So, after many, many years of marriage, you know, things slow down a little bit. But
sure.
What?
but they're
still very happy and they enjoy each other.
That gives you something to hold on to, mm-hmm. as you see this man crumble. You know?
I've never eaten so many Altoids in my life.
But it was like that scene doesn't come across if you don't have the chemistry between the actors, and so that's been super, like, kudos to Patrick for casting both of you guys.
I think all around
watching James and Dave with you in the cake scene, I would think that you guys had been doing it six nights a week.
All around casting was great, and as I said, I mean, we came together and there hasn't been really any kind of problem, not even minor.
Uh-uh.
Yeah. We've had fun. We've obviously, we all have the respect for the material that we should, and those moments of you know, respect and being quiet are there, and when we laugh, we laugh, and the work with Emmy is like incredibly efficient. I don't understand how. Patrick, you know, obviously knows his stuff, and it's so very sensible, and so all in all, the match between all of us and us with the play, has been perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I love hearing that.
Yeah. Oh, it's been.
My husband works in hospice and palliative care.
Okay. Yeah, I've been real interested to hear Jeremy's thoughts on this.
He's actually a physician, and he's coming this next weekend. He was out of town. But I have had so many questions about different aspects of it. I'm really interested to see hear his opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Been super interested to hear his
thoughts. He's bringing some coworkers.
Yeah.
And of course, not all his patients don't all have Alzheimer's or dementia, but a good number do.
Sure.
told me that you're going to be here Saturday. Is that right?
That is correct.
Oh, nice.
I'm very happy to be there. So I have a great weekend planned. I'll be seeing it performed at the area competition at Wiley High School
Adeline
on Friday. And then I will be coming to see you guys on Saturday.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't realize.
So that's something else I've been wondering. We were talking earlier about trying to leave it at home and not weighing yourself down with the heavy subject material. And every now and then I will see high schools performing this show as a one actor at a competition. And I feel like, wasn't there just one in your area that was doing this recently, or?
Fredericksburg High did one. That's and a beautiful job. Yes.
Yeah.
And like the McMurray version, sometimes students can do this just powerful because they do the research. They've not experienced this. And so I wouldn't say theirs is more raw, but there's just something special about it. And so I've seen some beautiful work done at high schools, colleges.
Yeah.
That have done this. And it's picked up a lot of traction as far as high school competition groups are concerned. And I've seen some beautiful sets and just ways that they've performed it. It's been really, really rewarding and interesting to see.
Well, we've been thinking that this would be a great one to take to Quad Fest or Tex Fest or T festivals like that, because our ED and I were just at Tex Fest at the end of February, and we're thinking, no room is built for this. The set is built to come apart, and it's like
Sunday's gonna suck.
What? Because it's your last one, and you're gonna be very emotional about it. This is a very much a show that I find it sticks with people.
And like, I don't get post show blues a lot anymore. Yeah. I used to when I was in my 20s, but now I'm like, whatever. That we're not dying. We're all still gonna be friends. It's fine.
Sure.
This one will be hard.
This one, yeah. For people in the audience and people in the show, this is one that seems to stay with you.
Will you sign my script?
I'd love to.
My script from back in the day, too.
Well, to sign fine, too. Jed. Fine.
But you can get him to sign your poster.
Yeah.
I don't have a poster design.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Well, I feel like that's a good place for us to go ahead and...
Jed, don't forget to do the thing.
What thing? How do I end the show, Beth? I never know how to end the show when you're not here. Oh, first, I want
to
know.
That's a running gag with the podcast.
Yeah, with Beth reminding me how to end the show. I do, before we go, I want to remind all of the listeners that if you're listening to this as it comes out, then this weekend, you've got one more chance. You've already missed the first weekend. You have one more chance to see the show. It's March 31st, April 1st, and April 2nd. You'll have Friday and Saturday are 7:30 p.m. shows, and the Sunday show is a 2:30 p.m. matinee. Tickets are at lubbockcommunitytheater.org.
We'd love to sell out.
Yes, we would love to have as many of you come see that. And we've got our local Alzheimer's organization is in the lobby with some information and things to hand out, or answer questions for anyone who may, have questions come up by watching this show. So please come out. Do not miss it. Like I have said before, it is a show that sticks with you. And that's been the overwhelming thing I've been reading with people who saw this last weekend was, don't miss it. You will regret missing it. It's not like anything else you've ever seen.
Yes.
So
wonderful.
Good on you for creating that.
Thank you so much for taking time to do this.
Yes.
It's very special.
This is wonderful. Thank you all so much.
Yes, we will go ahead and sign off there then. And on behalf of myself, my co-hosts, our special guest, and our listeners and everyone here at LCT, thank you for listening. This has been Five Till Places.
Thank you, Five.
Five Till Places is a production of Lubbock Community Theater. Be sure to follow us on social media for all the latest news and updates surrounding our projects and the goings-on at LCT. Our theme music is Pizza and Video Games by Bonus Points. Additional music this week was Snow Dance by Vanilla. A link to those artists and their music can be found in the show notes. Look them up, give them some support. Thanks for being with us this week, and as always, Thank you for supporting live theater in the Lubbock, Texas area and beyond.